It's a very in-depth topic. Getting right into it, we have discussed the fruit of the Spirit, and within that fruit, there are many, many fruits, but there's one fruit of the Spirit, and they all complement each other. You can't have one without the other, and it literally, every time I get into this, for whatever reason, I just can't get past the fact that it's important where you're rooted. It's important where your root system is. The psalmist says, and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he will bring forth fruit in his season. So it's important of where you're planted. Well, hello, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. So glad to see you today. Everyone, this is my mother. And so she drove a long ways to be here today. And I roped her into it, guys. I roped her into it. I said, I could come to you, but I'm teaching Sunday school. And so she felt obligated. And so anyway, no, I love her. I thank her for being here. I thank Pastor Nana C., our church mom, for all that she is. I can tell you right now, we would not... Oh, yeah. She deserves every hand clap and then some. I would not be the person I am today without the mothers in my life, my mom and Nana C, and those others that have molded me and shaped me. So I thank y'all very much. And this is just, you know, that's free, you know. But it's important where we're rooted. It's important where we're grounded. It's important that we are planted by that rivers of water. Because there is going to come a desert season in our life. And that root system, Brother Brent, that root system goes deep. And that root system will seek out any kind of nutrients in the soil, no matter where it comes from. And so if we're planted in the wrong places, me and Brother Brent get to deal with the root systems of intrusions, what they call root intrusions, when they decide to sneak into sewer pipes and to sneak into other types of, mainly sewer for us, but they'll get in and around water systems, and they'll cause massive destruction because they're seeking out a nutrients that maybe once was there but has dried up. And so it's important that our root system is placed by the rivers of water in the Word of God. It's important that our systems are rooted in God's Word. And so moving forward, we have gone through the fruit of the Spirit, and literally you cannot have one without the other. And today we're going to move into the fruit of faith. And if I was to title this message, Brother Josh, it would be the active fruit of faith. Faith is active. And I'm going to get into that. Faith is a very in-depth study, in so much that I don't know a week does it any justice of studying into the faith in God, the faith towards God. It grows into faithfulness. Each of these are Bible studies in and of themselves. So faith is a very, very in-depth topic. And so I'm not going to go into all of the depth of this. I won't have the time. Again, a week's worth of study still does not give the active fruit of faith justice. So I encourage you to cultivate faith in your life. The Strong's definition of faith in this context was pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, if I said that correctly. And it's persuasion that is credence, a moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness of God or religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Abstractly, consistency, and such profession by extension, the system of religious or gospel truth in and of itself. Thayer's definition says conviction of the truth of anything, a belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it relating to God. It's a conviction that exists, that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things. He's the provider. He's the bestower of eternal salvation through Christ Jesus. And relating to Christ, it's a strong, welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation into the kingdom of God. It's a belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or Christ, springing from faith in the same fidelity, faithfulness, and character of one that can be relied on. Faith, believing and trusting Christ alone for salvation as the first step toward salvation. Faith is essential, and it's an essential prerequisite in coming to God. Because the Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So going into Hebrews 11:1, since we're in Hebrews, everybody knows Hebrews 11. If you don't know, now you know. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, right? It's all about faith, and we go into it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And before I got into this, the very first verse, I go, all right, I've got a definition of faith, but what is the substance? And so I began to dig into substance. Substance is confidence. So if I was to rechannel that word and not changing the word of God, but more defining it more. Now, faith is the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is concretely the concrete essence or assurance. It's confidence. It's the foundation, under Thayer's definition, it's the foundation. That's substance. It's the foundation of our faith. It's that confidence. So the writer of Hebrews admonishes us to go on to perfection. He's talking about, he's encouraging us through everybody that he goes through, and I'm gonna go through it kind of quickly. Verse 2 of 11 says, for it, talking about faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I want to please God. Again, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. By Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should receive, or should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. There's a substance there. And he went out not knowing whither he went. It's really easy to leave here, Sister Cannon, and type into that GPS a location and get on the road. But back in the day, they didn't have Alexa telling you where to go. Right? It was by faith that I listened to the word of God, and I was directed by the word of God, the voice of God, the direction of God. So faith is and must be an active fruit established in our lives. established so much that there's always an increase as it grows. Again, I've said before that the fruit of the Spirit that is a part of the tree is not, the tree doesn't consume itself. Who's the fruit for? Okay, so if you haven't been here before, I'm very interactive. So please speak out if I pause for a second, right? So who is the fruit for if the it's not for the tree? For everybody else. For the people of Walmart. You go through Walmart, you better have some active faith and some active fruit. For the people at work. Right? You know what? How about for the people sitting right next to you? Because I can tell you as a human, I'm not here because I'm perfect. I'm here because I love God and I want something. I need something. I desire something more in my life. I want to please God. And sometimes, Brother Jess, I'm going to need your help. And you're going to need mine. And I lean on you. And you lean on me. And that's why it's important for us to strengthen one another. Especially when you see one going through something. You know, sometimes it doesn't even, and I don't know why, it's not even my notes. I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, Nennessee, it's just walking up and saying, how are you? Nennessee knows. Because I'm like, I'm fine, I'm good. She'll go, no. How are you? It's that second question that goes, I need something. Right? So when you see your brother or sister and the Holy Ghost prompts you, Sister Kristen, to walk up and say, how are you? Don't just take, I'm fine for, okay. Ask it again. No, really, how are you? Faith is established. I'm firm in my belief. But sometimes faith can be shaken. Right? I'm firm. I'm founded. My root systems are planted. I mean, and I run deep. But my root systems are holding on. And sometimes the winds and the rains and the storms that are around us shake that root system. Doesn't mean the root system's going anywhere unless you're not planted very deep. And so faith is never dormant. It's always growing or it's dying. It has to be mixed within our everyday life. Hebrews 4:2, Brother Josh. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It ties back directly to where are you planted. Faith must have a good ground to grow. And our journey towards God and salvation really begins when we hear the word of God and we believe it. At this juncture in our life, when I have heard the word of God and I believe what the word of God has says, having faith or believing must exist in our lives through every step from this point forward. Although we may not be able to explain the Bible or have full understanding, I still believe it. Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, right? So there are things that I do not understand. There are things that I still don't know. And there's a whole lot of times I like to, when I'm reading Bible, just skip over those begats and gots. Because that's about 17 chapters of I fall asleep really quickly. But you know, it was put in there for a purpose. It shows lineage. It shows how far that root system goes back. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't care. I was like, that's too much. But as a 41-year-old, I'm like, there's some substance there. Yeah, I'm 41, Sanana C. Don't say nothing. So I might not be able to explain it, but I believe it. So faith is an activator. Anybody know what an activator is? Nancy, what's an activator? It starts something. Anybody else? Nobody knows what an activator. Okay, huh?
Make something work.
Make something work. Anybody else? There's no wrong answer. So, Brother Chad, jumper cables. Oh, that's an activator. In the medical field, if your heart stops, we've got one right here in the hallway. There's an activator. It's called an AED, right? But when I was thinking about what's an activator, the very first thing, Brother Jerry, I came across in my mind was my entire family built cars their entire life. And I go back to my papaw days, right? And so when he was building cars, as much as he did not like Bondo, and Papaw would do everything he could not to use Bondo, there was times in his life that he would have to use Bondo to fill in some areas that just were out of, just a little bit warped. Now, Bondo, for those that don't know, is a putty mud-like material. And it stays a putty mud-like material forever unless you put this stinky blue activator in it. And once this blue activator gets added, and it doesn't take much, it's just a little dab. And I would watch my papaw, man. He would put that Bondo on a piece of board or something that he was holding, and he had a little spatula thing that he used, and he would put, just a little big old glob of Bondo and a little bitty, just that much of an activator. And then he would begin to mix it. And he would mix it back and forth, back and forth. I'm sorry, I pulled the mic away from my mouth. So if y'all get to where you cannot hear me, say, hey, put the mic up. Okay? I'm getting looks from the back row, so I just wanted to make sure. So they would put an activator in it, and he would mix this thing forever. I'm like, Papa, how long you got to mix that stuff? I got to make sure that it's incorporated. It's got to be incorporated into every part of that Bondo. And then you only have a certain amount of time to apply it to whatever you're applying it to. And you have to apply it to where it's smooth, because eventually it's going to harden. And it doesn't take long. It hardens, and it hardens quickly. And it becomes as hard as steel, to the point where you have to sand it down. And so that Bondo, that activator that creates a chemical reaction, creates a hardness in that clay until it becomes no longer pliable. Faith is an activator, right? I'm going to talk about that. One of the greatest examples of faith that is absolutely an example to us was Luke 22 and 41. Luke 22, 41 says, and when he was withdrawn from them, we're talking about the Lord, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Do y'all know where the Lord is here? He's in the garden. And this is just prior to his crucifixion. And he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus, please, the humanity of God pleads with the spirituality of God and says, please take this cup from me. which is his way of asking to be relieved of the painful responsibility that he's about to face. The human side of God does not want to deal with what's going to come. And yet, he makes a choice. That day, he could have chosen to not be a part, and all of humanity would have been lost. But he chose to remain faithful to the cause because it was greater than his human will to survive. So he concludes his plea with the comment, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus' humanity chose the will of God, no matter the cost. And this is the clearest picture of faithfulness in the Bible. When we choose to walk the path of faith, we choose to submit our own will to God's will. Through prayer, through fasting, through the power of the Holy Ghost, and we begin to cultivate the spiritual fruit of faith. And when you cultivate that faith, it leads to faithfulness. If I have cultivated the faith where I say, "God, not my will," does it hurt? 100%. Does the trials of the life that you live that come against you because you're trying to live for God, does it hurt? 100%. But many of times I have found myself in prayer saying, "God, not my will, but thy will be done." Because I know you have gone to tomorrow and I don't see it. But I really desire that your will be done in my life. That's how much I love God. It's something about falling in love with God. When you absolutely fall in love with God, then these fruits are cultivated in your life actively every day. And so from faith, I believe God. So in faith, I'm going to live for God. And because of that, I will remain faithful to God as long as I am cultivating that faith. If I ever allow the faith to become dormant, I will begin to die spiritually. My faith will eventually die if it's not cultivated every day. So we cultivate the spirit of faith, and it leads us to faithfulness. And 1 Corinthians 1:9, I don't know if I gave that one to you. And I want to be faithful. Did I miss that one? My bad. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to be faithful because God is faithful. And so, and if I'm faithful to God, guess what else? I'm going to be faithful to others. I'm going to hold true to the word that I have. If I tell you I'm going to do something and I'm faithful to God, then there's something established. There's that activator of faith in me that if I'm faithful to God, then I'm going to be faithful to my brother and my sister. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful to my pastor. I'm going to be faithful to friends. I'm going to be faithful to family. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. Because I have activated the faith factor of my life. And as long as I am faithful to God, it strengthens me to be faithful to others. And in being faithful to others, guess what? I am sharing that fruit of faith. And guess what? Somebody else is going to be like, "You know, he sure is faithful everywhere he goes. She sure is faithful in her word. I can pretty much tell you if she says something, she's going to do it." And people begin to see that. And they begin to try to activate, what do you do to make you so faithful? Well, let me just tell you. It's God, right? And in Hebrews 11:6, and I'm going to move through these fairly quickly for time reasons, but Hebrews 11:6, that we will have faith towards salvation. Behold, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How about John 7:38? He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because why? Because I have faith, because I believe, right? Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith. I'm talking about salvation here. And that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. I want to cultivate that gift, right? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm talking about faith. And I'm talking about salvation in this particular sense. Romans 3:25. Oh, sorry. Well, we'll do that one first. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Go one more back to Ephesians 1:13. I missed that one. And whom ye also trusted after that ye heard, I heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm talking about faith in salvation. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. That's us. If you're not Jewish in here, you're Greek. You're Gentile, right? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith. By faith I have access unto this grace wherein we stand. Boy, that's a lot of we's. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So there's a rejoicing in the faith as long as I've cultivated. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. I must hear. How do I hear? We'll get into that. How about healing? You know, there's faith in healing. And in the Bible study, it only gave me like one or two scriptures, but I was like, I know that there's more than that. So I put in there, and this is what it came up with, Matthew 9:22. Jesus turned to him about, and when he saw, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. And the woman was made whole that hour. Faith heals. It's not just the faith that heals, but it's the activator. It's the application, right? The activation, the activator that I just talked about, and it only takes a little bit. Bible talks about it as being a mustard seed, right? A little bit of an activator of faith mixed with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and all things are possible. How about Matthew 5:15-28? Did I say that? Matthew 15? Yeah, Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Mark 5:34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Talking about healing. Mark 10:52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Wasn't because he just sat there as Jesus walked by, but there was an activation of faith towards God. Luke 8:48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Luke 17:19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So the activation of faith will produce healing in your life. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Well, that's powerful. Not only is there healing, but there's salvation. Acts 3:16. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Matthew 9:29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. You need healing? Apply the activator of faith. I'm telling you, there's a depth in faith. And I'm hitting a few of these points. There's faith in pleasing God. How about this? Hebrews 11:5-6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was faith. And he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want to please God. I want that active faith. But if faith is dormant in my life, there's no pleasing God. It has to be activated. I can tell you right now, there's been times, and it's been very rare, but there's been a few times that the activator that was put in that bondo was bad. And so guess what? That bondo did not get hard. And so you know what happened? A whole lot of work. Because then you have to go and remove the old bondo. You have to remove all of the contaminated parts. And then you have to get a whole new activator. Pray that it's good. And completely redo everything you just did. Why? Because that activator was dormant. That activator was not active. And so what happens in our lives is faith, if it becomes dormant, we end up steering from God. And then guess what? 6 months down the road, Sister Benton, a year down the road, if I've been dormant in my faith, I have to turn around and do it all over again. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. I want my faith active every single day. There's victory in faith. 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Stay in the boat. If I'm going to overcome, I'm going to stay in the boat. I ain't leaving. The winds will blow. God's still on the throne. The rains will come. God's still on the throne. Relationships will fail. My relationship with God will not. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is a nasty world. Amen. I'm telling you, I was going home the other day. I posted it on the Book of Many Faces. But the sunset was just absolutely beautiful. And the picture that I took while I was driving, yes, I did that. I'm not the police anymore, and there wasn't no police around, so it's okay. God saw that I was giving him glory for his beauty. That's how you write that story, Brother Jerry. But the beauty of God, I can't wait to see what heaven's like. Amen. I really can't. But without faith, I'm not going to see it. So, how about understanding? Hebrews 11:3, we've already discussed it, but I'll hit it again. Through faith, we understand. Without faith, I'm not going to have that understanding. You know, Solomon asked for three things. wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And with that, God gave him everything else. I want understanding. And if I have understanding, then I'm going to have faith. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see God every day. And for somebody to say there is no God is foolish. How beautiful his presence is in our lives. Their sanctification through faith, Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want to be sanctified. Acts 15:9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. I want my heart to be pure. I daily ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Know me. I know you know me, but know me. I want to be clean. If there's anything in me, any little thing, remove it from me. Get it out of my life. Because I don't want to just have faith, but I want to be faithful to you. And if there's anything that would cause me to trip up, I want to cut it out of my life. In the vine, there are things, if you look at these trees, and I don't even know what they're called. I'm not an arborist, but the crepe myrtles. If you let them go without being trimmed for very long, they get a little crazy. A lot crazy. But here's the deal. When those sprigs that are a lot crazy begin to pull nutrients from the main part of the tree. And so there's things that we have to, in cultivating our faith, there are things that we have to cut out of our lives. There are branches. The other day I talked to y'all about how the fruit, how there's a certain weight that a tree. We got nurses in here, I'm okay. And Jesus. So a tree will produce fruit by weight. Did you know this? And so a tree, Sister Cannon, will produce a certain amount of weight of fruit. And if you cut out it's been tested and proven in my studies, but if you cut out if you have a tree that has 100 branches and it produces 100 pounds of fruit, I'm just throwing numbers out there, the fruit will be small. But if you cut out 50 of those branches, it's still going to produce 100 pounds of fruit. And so the fruit will be larger the next year. But it's all about cultivation, and it's all about trimming things that take away from the nutrients of the tree. So there's things that we have to trim out of our lives so that our fruit may be greater for those around us to partake of it. So I lost where I was at. What was the last scripture, Brother John? 15:9, justification. So that's sanctification. Let's go into justification, and I'm getting ready to close. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How about Galatians 2:16? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. There's justification through faith. How about direction? 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, that's clear direction. Alexa didn't have to tell me that. Right? Romans 4:12. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. There's direction. How about righteousness through faith? Right? Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Romans 10:1 through 6. Further, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doth or doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. I want God to be seen through me. The fruit of faith will grow into faithfulness. Spiritually and physically, the fruit of faith will cultivate in your life as long as you keep it active. But the crossroad, I'm closing. Your established walk with God through faith will increase as long as you cultivate it. And as long as it's increasing, your life will beautify into faithfulness. And I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to the one who never fails. He never fails. And so I want to be that faithful. There's a song that says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He has never failed, Brother Crosswhite. Come.
Let's thank the Lord for the word today. Would you just lift your hearts with us right now? Lord, we thank you.